بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In tonight's discussion, we are on part number 9, discussing about Dajjal. Thus far, we have discussed in length the signs before the coming of Dajjal. Then we have mentioned in tape number 6 and 7 the ploys, the methodology utilized by the schemes of Dajjal. And in the last tape, tape number 8, we have begun discussing about the coming of Dajjal, the person of Dajjal, the physical features of Dajjal, and his activities. One, as we have explained, is the trials and tribulation created by the systems of Dajjal. The other is the mischief which is going to be caused and created, promoted by Dajjal himself. So there are two aspects. One is the current situation, which is going to eventually lead us to the coming of Dajjal. And prior to the coming of Dajjal will be the coming of Mahdi and the success of Islam. Then, when this success is gaining root, the emergence of Dajjal between Syria and Iraq. And as we know that he will try firstly to go to Madinatul Munawwara, but inshallah, as the hadith prophesies by Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will not be able to enter into Madinatul Munawwara nor into Makkatul Mukarramah. The word Dajjal itself, as we have stated previously, that it does not appear in the Quran Kareem. The person of Dajjal does not appear there, but we believe in it because of the hadith al-Mutawatirah. The word Dajjal is derived from Dajjala, which means he covered a thing. And the Lisan al-Arab gives several views why Dajjal is so called. One view is that he is so called on the account of being a liar and covering. Because Dajjal is going to be full of lies, full of deception, full of tricks, full of mischief. He's going to be lying that he is the prophet. He's going to be lying that he is a god. He's going to be lying that he is going to put people into Jannat and provide them with comfort. And he's going to be lying that he is going to put those who reject him into Jahannam. And he will be concealing the truth with falsehood. Because liars do this. They hide the truth and conceal the truth. They cover the truth with the falsehood. And it's a rule of lying that if a person is a liar, then for one lie he has to say many other lies to cover the first lie. Eventually, a liar gets caught up in his own lies. Another reason that he will cover the earth with the largeness of his numbers. Because he will have, as stated in the hadith, 70,000 followers, and we mentioned that 70,000 will denote here quantity, because in the Arabic language the 70,000 figure denotes quantity. If we look, for example, currently, that there are more non-believers on earth than believers. So at that time, the number will increase because of the attractions of Dajjal. We have explained in the previous tape, towards the end, that how Dajjal is going to be using music, and also, according to some, how he is going to be using women to attract towards his so-called religion and cause corruption on the earth. A third, that he will cover the people with unbelief. He will, due to his unnatural and super, so-called supernatural feats, he will spread mischief and cover the people of the earth with unbelief, darkness. A fourth is that he will spread over the earth and cover the whole earth. As stated in the hadith, when Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in asked Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that how will he travel and to the extent of his travel, when Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained that he will travel and traverse the whole earth. So the Dajjal is going to spread across the whole earth rapidly, swiftly. Still there is a view that Dajjal, he will cover the earth with the articles and merchandise of trade. That we have explained to some extent, a great extent, that the ploy of the Dajjal system is to control the trade of the entire world. So Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that in a hadith in Muslim, Abu Dawud, Tirmizi, and Musnad Ahmad, whoever recites the first 10 verses of the Surah Kaf will be immune from the trials of Dajjal. In one hadith, whoever memorizes them. So part of curriculum, part of syllabus, part of our system of learning should be that we should learn the Surah Kaf first 10 verses, because the hadith is strong and it is stating that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that whoever recites this, learns this 10 verses of Surah Kaf will be protected from and will be immune from the trials of Dajjal. And as explained, the trials of Dajjal are no ordinary. They are devastating. Because if we look around us, that currently, without even the appearance of Dajjal, that weary, weak-hearted, weak iman Muslims fall prey to everything that is sinful. Drugs, gambling, womanizing, music, wasting time, engage in activities which are futile and vain, having no benefit in this world or the grave or the akhirah. So without even the appearance of Dajjal, but with the appearance of the mechanism and machinery of Dajjal, how many Muslims daily or daily basis are involved with those activities which are absolutely futile, of no benefit, of no value, but still Muslims do this with full fervor, enthusiasm, wasting tons of money on activities that are going to be punishable. Another hadith in Muslim, Tirmizi, Abu Dawud, whosoever recites the last 10 verses of the chapter of Surah Kaf will be safe from the trials of Dajjal. That is why it has become part of life of Muslim to recite Surah Kaf on Fridays, because it is stated in hadith the recitation of Surah Kaf on Fridays, so that a person is protected from the trials and tribulation of Surah Kaf. And when we analyze these ayats, then we come to realize that the ayats talk about domination of the world a domination, materialistic domination, and use of materialistic power to gain control over the world. And we as Muslims should realize fully well that we should not be absolutely materialistically inclined. Otherwise, we are going to destroy ourselves running after the materialistic world. We have been narrating the hadiths concerning Dajjal. In this session, we are going to be mentioning hadiths with slightly more explanations compared to the last discussion that we were having. As I mentioned, that the hadiths concerning Dajjal have reached such an extent and such quantity that they are of mutawatir in nature. One question comes in mind, that we have the word Masih attached to Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, and we have the word Masih also attached to Dajjal. So generally translated Masih as the Messiah when come to Hazrat Isa alayhi salam. And when we look at the certain nations of the world, that they are also waiting for the Messiah. In fact, every nation is waiting for a Messiah who will take them out of their difficulties. When we look at the technical implications of this word Messiah, then we come to realize that Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, he is the Masih, but he is touching, because according to the scholars, this word means passing of hand over an object. And they say that Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, he had the gift, and he will still have the gift when he comes back, to pass his hand over those who are sick and ailing, and by so doing, then inshallah, those who are sick and ailing will become better. We have got records that Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, he passed his hand over a person who was blind, and that person's eyesight was restored. A person who was a leper, Hazrat Isa alayhi salam passed his hand over him, and the person recovered. So the general pattern was that Hazrat Isa alayhi salam's blessed hand over an ailing person and a sick person would make that person recover. But the word Masih, when referred to Dajjal, would mean that like someone has passed the hand over his eye, thus making him blind. So has flattened, as we have explained in the previous session, that according to the hadith, and the interpreters say that his one eye will be so called flat, as if to say someone has passed a hand over that eye and flattened it and has made it non-usable. Remember, the purpose of Dajjal, one of the main purposes of his coming, will be to amass wealth, to make the people go after the temporary world, and to make them greedy. And Hazrat Masih Isa ibn Maryam, he'll be a person telling the people not to go outside, go for wealth, but to focus on the akhirat, gain proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there are clear differences between the Hazrat Isa alayhi salam and Dajjal. The Musnad of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal also contains as many as 100 hadiths concerning Dajjal. So the hadiths relating to Dajjal are numerous and cannot be denied by any person. The many descriptions which we have started to mention concerning Dajjal, because Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned them, we are mentioning them. It is our iman to bring faith upon what Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam has stated. the hadith in Bukhari, and I saw a person with short curly hair whose right eye was blind. I asked who he was. I was told that it was Masih al-Dajjal. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was describing Dajjal to his Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajmayin. And in another hadith, behold, he is blind on one eye, and between his two eyes is written kafir, which we have explained. This hadith also is in Bukhari, and in Musnad it is stated with similar words on the same topic of Dajjal, described as one eye, narrated by Hazrat Ibn Abbas, said one eye with sparkling white complexion. This we find in Musnad Ibn Ahmad, volume 1, page 240. And in another, is heavily built, white and shining, whose one eye is brilliant like a shining star. So there are many descriptions now concerning Dajjal, his physical form, and especially in relationship to his eye. Here, as I stressed previously, that the concept projected via photography and pictures that this Dajjal will have only one eye on his forehead, that is wrong. That is perhaps projecting the one eye theory, which is being propagated widely. And many books have been written on this, many lectures have been given on this one eye theory, etc. However, Dajjal is a person with two eyes, but one of his eyes, he is blind in that, and the other eye is protruding. And his complexion has been described, that he is white complexion, heavily built, and as if to say his body is shining, whose one eye is brilliant like the shining star, meaning giving off some sort of light, etc. In between those two eyes is stated kafara, as explained in the Musnad of Ahmad, that a person who is literate and a person who is illiterate, he will be able to read it. Now from this description we are clearly getting one other fact, that Dajjal is not a community. Dajjal is a person. Why Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going at length to explain all this? So the concept promoted by some people who do not understand deen, who say that no, Dajjal is not one person, but Dajjal is a whole community, that is absolutely wrong. Because all these ahadith are describing Dajjal as one person per se, who has these features and who has got these physical features. That is why Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam is describing it to such an extent. A believer will read it whether he can read or not. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the believer has the quality of iman, this quality of iman will save him, and this quality of iman will allow him to read, and this quality of iman will allow this person to read although he does not know how to read, and he'll be allowed to see the falsehood in the forehead of Dajjal. A believer, according to the hadith of Musnad, will be able to read whether he understands or not, whether he can read or not. So we can see that the description, physically he is strong, and he is white and sparkling. Hair on the head will be short and curly. And the hadiths are clear, pointing towards the fact that the person described is going to be one person. Yes, his followers, that is a different issue. He is going to have a huge following. It has been narrated that the right eye of Dajjal will be devoid of sight, and the Dajjal will have his left eye, will have his right eye devoid of sight, This means that Dajjal, according to some scholars, will have very little moral qualities, and he will be lacking in humility, whereas Hazrat Isa alayhi salam will be free from ignorance, avarice, greed, and other harmful qualities. So constantly we see in those books written about Dajjal, because Isa alayhi salam is going to come to slay Dajjal, so they draw parallels between Dajjal because of this word Masih. Because Imam Raghib says the blindness of Dajjal in the right eye is a scholaristic academic exposition, which means that the Dajjal will be bereft of morality also. However, we should realize that definitely, because Dajjal is going to come here to spread immorality, corruption, mischief, and he's going to mislead people into Jahannam. There's another hadith, a lengthy hadith, which many have commented upon. It is the abode of Dajjal, the place of Dajjal. In Muslim, there is a report by Fatima, the daughter of Qais, in which it is stated that one day Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam detained the people, he told the people of the congregation of Salat, and said that Tamim Adari, who was previously a Christian, had come to me and has embraced Islam. And he now says a thing about Dajjal, which similarly I have been saying to you. Then follows the story of Hazrat Tamim Adari. He says, Hazrat Tamim Adari radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, he set out on a journey, on a voyage, in the company of some people of the tribes of Laham and Juzam. After a month's journey, their boat anchored on an island. When they disembarked, they first met a strange creature. And this strange creature, which calls himself Jassas, meaning that arch spy or a spy or an informer, when they spoke to this Jassas, and it was said about this Jassas that they could not make out, due to the hairiness of Jassas, the front from his back, and they were fearful and they were happy to leave him. But when they spoke to him, the Jassas gave them whereabouts of a person who lives in a church or a synagogue or a place there. So when Hazrat Tamim Adari and his companions went into that holding, they found a huge figure whose hands were tied to his neck, whose legs were chained in iron fetters from the knees to the ankles. They began to start to talk to this person who was chained up. And this person inquired about Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and in the end saying that he is the Dajjal, and said soon he will be released. He will come towards Mecca and he will come towards Medina. The person who was chained, he asked various questions. And he asked about the coming of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the event of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the spread of Islam, the progress of Islam, and he spoke about Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the prophet from the Arabs, who is going to be spreading Islam throughout the world. Hazrat Tamim Adari explained this hadith in detail to Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Here now, those who are so called liberal, They say, you know, this is a vision of Hazrat Tamim-e-Dari. Or the others say that this is a vision of Hazrat Tamim-e-Dari and confirmed by another vision of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they do not say exactly what the hadith denotes, that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is stating that Dajjal was alive during his time. And previously we have quoted one hadith in which Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told his Sahaba, when Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described Dajjal after the Fajr Salat in the morning, then the Sahabas were perturbed in the evening because of the vivid description of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Sahaba showed their fear on their faces. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam read that and told them that if Dajjal appears now, he will contend with it and he will deal with him. So that means Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is stating the possibility of Dajjal even coming during his time. But later Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained when Dajjal will come, the circumstances of him coming, and that Hazrat Isa alayhi salam will inshallah descend, because it is our belief that Hazrat Isa alayhi salam has been physically, bodily taken up for his protection by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and will descend to help Hazrat Mahdi to fight against Dajjal, to pursue him. So Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned this, that the sequence of events will be Mahdi will come, then the news of Dajjal coming, then the descent of Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, the grouping up of Hazrat Isa with Mahdi to fight against Dajjal, and eventually Hazrat Isa alayhi salam slaying Dajjal at the gate of Lut. Now those who deny this hadith make various interpretations, and make interpretations because they fail to understand a simple principle, that is to accept whatever Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated, but they want to make it allegorical and metaphorical and put in some figurative interpretations to it or symbolic interpretations to it, because they are solely relying upon their intelligence, and they are relying upon their power of comprehension, and they are relying upon their method of thinking. We from the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jamaat, after checking the relative explanations given to this hadith, come to the conclusion that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not talking of a vision, or is not relating a vision, but is confirming a physical scene seen by Hazrat Tamim-e-Dari radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Dajjal's coming is a great trial. In the hadith at the section of Dajjal in Mishkat, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated there is no greater trial than the Dajjal since the creation of man up to the coming of the hour, which we have mentioned that since the time of Hazrat Adam alayhi salam up to now, there hasn't been a greater trial for the Muslims. Why? Because of the numerous dubious, devious activities which are going to be done by Dajjal to mislead and to corrupt men. In Kanzul Umwal, there is a hadith, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated, there has been no trial greater than the trial of Dajjal on the face of the earth since Allah created the progeny of Adam. So the trials and tribulations of Dajjal are going to be tremendous, and a person who is having little iman or weak iman, unfortunately, is going to be caught up in after witnessing the numerous activities given out by Dajjal. And one of the things that Dajjal is going to be calling towards is luxury, comfort, ease in the world. And unfortunately, every other person is looking towards luxury, comfort, ease, and he does not want to have any sort of any difficulty. It is stated in the hadith, the Mishkat, that Dajjal will come and with him will be something like a garden of paradise, and the fire of hell, then that which he will call garden will be the fire. We have explained this, and in another hadith in Mishkat, and with him will be the water and the fire. That which will people will think will be the water will burn, will be fire that will burn. And that which people will think the fire will prove to be sweet, cold water. Now we are very fortunate as Muslims that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is pre-warning us that if we have to see the time of Dajjal, and if we have to experience this, and we should strengthen our iman by reciting the ayats of Surah Kaf, and also having full faith in what Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stated, so that when he presents the fire, we know that this is not the fire. And when he presents the cold water, we know fully well that this is not the cold water. And we will know that the fire will not burn, but will be cool. In another hadith, it is stated very clearly in Kanzul Mu'al, volume 7, that Dajjal will bring with him fire and a stream. So whosoever falls into the fire, into his fire, his reward will become due and his burden will be removed. Meaning that externally a person may pass away, but he will have his burden removed, meaning he will go to Jannah. Another hadith, that with Dajjal, mountains of bread and streams of water will go with him. So the Dajjal will have these provisions at his beck and call. And the Dajjal will have the infrastructure to provide provisions to poor nations, to provide food to poor nations, to provide water, basic necessities to poor nations, to provide these things for a price, so that they accept him as firstly a prophet, then eventually as a god. So, when we look around, we will find that the ploys of Dajjal are designed and orchestrated in such a manner that few nations of the world want to control provisions for the entire world. Few nations of the world want to control the bread of the world, the water of the world. At the moment, if we look, that three factors are very important. One is provision, bread. Secondly, water. Thirdly, oil. And most of the time, we find that wars are fought because of these things. To suffocate the nations by withholding water and bread and capturing the oil of that nation. Because war is a business in our era, in our times. When Dajjal will come, he will be having all these infrastructures which are being created today in place, at its peak, at its height, to try and control the provisions of the world, and to lure nations, tribes, communities, countries, Dajjal will go swiftly from one area to another, one country to another, as we are going to explain and as we have indicated, to provide commodities, basic necessities of life, food and water to the people. And to others who are following him and who are his close followers, to provide women, music, wine, entertainment, comfort, luxury, ease, so that adultery, fornication, illicit relationship, illegal children become the order of the day. So he will have this at his beck and call to provide to the nations and the people, to lure them from Iman and to take them out of Iman into Kufr and Jahannam. With him, he will have two rivers, a river of water and a river of fire, which we have explained. That Dajjal will make his appearance, and with him will be a stream and a fire. Whosoever plunges into the streams, his burden becomes due and his reward vanishes. And whosoever enters the fire, his reward becomes due and his burden is removed. So in reality, survival will be in the so-called fire of Dajjal, and ruin and destruction will be in the so-called water or stream of water of Dajjal. Another hadith, again, all these hadiths are from Kanz al-Umwal, and amongst his trials is that with him will be a garden and a fire. His fire will be really a garden, and his garden in reality will be a fire. So whoever is tried by his fire, he should seek the succor of Allah and should read the opening verses of Surah Kaf, and it will become cool and safe. Yeah, the importance of reading Surah Kaf and during those times when we hear that Dajjal has come, that we recite Surah Kaf for our protection and safety. Another hadith, and with him will be something like garden and fire, and his garden will be misty and with smoke, and his hell will be a green garden. Another hadith, verily with him will be a garden and a fire, so his fire will be a garden and his garden fire. So whoever is tried by his fire should close his eyes and seek the help of Allah. It will become cool and safe. As indicated previously, that just as the fire cooled for Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, similarly the fire will cool for a believer, and the fire of Dajjal will not harm or hurt or injure the hair of the believer. In another hadith it is stated, how would you feel when you will be tried by a man to whom the streams of the world and its fruits will be made subservient? Dajjal will try and control to some extent the valuables of the world, the treasures of the world, the fruits and the harvest and the crops of the world, so that he can utilize this to lure people, to convince people and to bring them towards his thinking. Two mountains will move with him. One of these will be trees and fruits and water, and the other will be smoke and fire. He will say, this is heaven and this is hell. Now the movement of fruits and the movement of trees and the movement of smoke and the movement of fire in our ages is very easy to understand this, to comprehend this, that if a person has got a huge naval force or a huge military air force, then he can carry these provisions, this fruit, this firepower, and this fighting power, this military power, from one end of the world to another. It is very easily, and we have seen it in our times, how they do this. They sit in one part of the world, the military is fighting in another part of the world, and every minute they are throwing bombs, firepower, from the skies onto the innocent civilians of the world. In Hadith, in Mishkat, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, how swift will Dajjal travel on earth? Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as I stated before, he said the cloud will carry, like how the clouds are carried by the wind. In a Hadith it comes, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated, the earth will be rolled up for him. He will hold the cloud in his right hand and overreach the sun at its setting place. The sea will be ankle deep for him. Before him will be a mountain of smoke. Here various descriptions have been given of Dajjal. The earth will be rolled up for him. This is very easy to understand, that because of the speed of travel and because of the swiftness of movement, and we know the technological advancement as far as speed and movement is concerned, that the world can be rolled up for a person. Person can be at one end of the world at one time and use aeroplanes, etc., and reach the other end of the world very quickly. As if to say that the earth has been rolled up, and Dajjal will have all these supersonic abilities at his disposal. So he'll be using them. And we can see like how the satanic forces and imperialistic forces of the world, how they are doing it, how they are moving from one part of the earth and attacking innocent people in the other part of the world, and how they are destroying countries and nations because they have this so-called superpower machinery on their side. He will hold the cloud in his right hand and will overreach the sun at its setting place. When we look outside from the aeroplane, as if to say the aeroplane is holding the clouds on the right hand side. So there is nothing strange about this hadith. It is very easy to understand. And a person, when he is traveling with the aeroplane and supersonic modes of travel, he is, as if to say, going to those places where the sun is setting, and he is setting right, he's going right near where the sun is setting. So Dajjal will be moving, and he will be moving in the clouds using the aeroplanes, etc., and moving towards the west, moving towards the east. Then the hadith says the sea will be ankle deep for him. Now, because of this statement, sometimes books are written and they give the impression that Dajjal will be one gigantic person, and Dajjal will be such a huge person that he'll be holding the clouds in his right hand, and he will be standing in the sea, and the sea will be ankle deep for him. Then they go on to say that this will be the initial birth of Dajjal. But later he will come into normal size, normal human size. However, if we look at this hadith, the sea will be ankle deep for him, we will realize that this person, Dajjal, will be utilizing submarines, and he'll be using all the latest technology of warfare, air warfare, and he'll be using all the latest technology as far as the naval warfare. So his control will be on the skies and on the water and under the water. Before him will be a mountain of smoke. Why? Because of his travel. Traveling so swiftly from one area to another, from one place to another, he'll be having most of the time going around the clouds. That is why the smoke activity. In a hadith in Abu Dawud, it is stated about Dajjal that he'll be jumping between he'll be jumping about between the heaven and earth. In another hadith, it is explained that he'll be bouncing between the clouds. So this is possible when a person has got the aeroplane at his disposal. And this Dajjal will have the finest of aeroplanes and the finest of jets and the finest of rockets at his disposal. So he'll be able to bounce in those clouds. And the expression is given that he'll be between the heavens and the earth. Another hadith in Kanz that he will have an ass which he will ride, whose 2 ears will be 40 yards apart. Now, when we look at it carefully, that this is actually a description of the aeroplane, and this is the description of a modern aircraft, and this is a description of the aircraft perhaps to come, and this is a description of the mode of transport which Dajjal will be using, and this is a simple description provided by Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam for us, not utilizing in those days the actual words of aeroplane or rocket or jet or whatever it may be given to the aircraft. But Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in reality is describing the aeroplane in simple words, and Dajjal is going to be utilizing it. Dajjal will make his appearance on a white ass whose 2 ears will be 70 yards apart. Now the first hadith states 40 yards, the second hadith states 70 yards. So this is not contradictory, because he could have many aircrafts and he could have many modes of transport. So one could have wings measuring up to 40 yards and one could have wings measuring up to 70 yards. So both hadiths are correct and valid. And this person, Dajjal, having all this at his disposal, moving swiftly from one place to another, because he is going to be such a trial and tribulation, creating havoc for every person on the surface of earth, as explained by Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that there is no greater trial and tribulation than Dajjal because of his activity. In Kanz, the hadith about Dajjal, underneath him will be a white ass. The length of each of his 2 ears will be 30 yards. And between one leg of his ass and the other will be the distance of 1 day and a night's journey. Explaining that, first of all, again, describing the color white could be referring to white as in white or shiny. And most of these aircrafts can be painted whatever color one wants it, white or shiny. And the length of each of the 2 ears will be 30 yards. As I explained to you, that the Dajjal will be having various aircrafts and various modes of transport. And he'll be moving very swiftly, because the other will be the distance of 1 day and night's journey. So the speed has been described here. We know from our time that today's speed is no problem, and a person can move swiftly, as explained in the hadith of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that Dajjal is going to traverse and try to reach every part of the earth. Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, and he will pass through a wilderness and will say, bring forth your treasures. So its treasures will follow him as the bees follow their queen. Because of technological advancements, and you know, via satellite, etc., the movements of people on earth are monitored. It is stated that man has reached such advances via satellite monitoring that they can tell you via satellite what is in between the sandwiches and what brand of cigarette a person is smoking via satellite monitoring. So that may increase and improve and advance to such an extent that via perhaps satellite monitoring and technology, a person will be able to see from the sky that underneath there, there are treasures. And underneath there, one should access those treasures. And via, again, sophisticated technological equipment to immediately access it, process it, and let it come back onto the aircraft and let it fly with it. And just like bees follow their queen, the treasures will follow him, because he has to use these treasures to mislead mankind. That's what his role and activities. Stated in the hadith, Mishkat, he will come upon a nation and he will invite it towards him to follow him, and it will believe in him. So he will command the sky and it will pour down rain, and command the earth and it will produce vegetation. Then he will come upon a nation and he will invite it to follow him, and it will refuse to respond. So he will turn away from me. Then he will stricken that nation with famine, and nothing will remain in its hand of its wealth. We have mentioned this hadith previously. Here it is more simplified, explained that he will threaten people that if you believe, then we will give you food, vegetation, produce crops. And if you disbelieve, then we will withhold that. Currently, we can see, without the coming of the real Dajjal, the so-called powerful nations of the world, they want to control the countries, monopolize the mineral resources of any country, and they do so by threatening them with social, economical, food sanctions and boycott. And they instruct them, the poorer nations, that if you do not hand over your resources, your material resources, then no food will come to you. As if to say, no rain will come to you, no vegetation will come to you, no crops will come to you. And in the world currently, as we speak, there are so many nations that are threatened and are experiencing this threat of food boycott, medical boycott, vegetation boycott, sanctions of various natures. So Dajjal, when he comes, he will do this on a much larger scale. And he will do this with the idea that if they reject that he is a prophet or a god, then he will put sanctions on them. And if they believe, then he will so-called open the flood gates of provision, vegetation, crops, etc. And these incans, and amongst his trials, is that he passes by a people and they refuse to believe in him. Nothing will remain of their cattle, but all will perish. Now, this is very simple. When we look at the modern technology and warfare, that Dajjal can go to a nation and tell their nation that believe in me. And if the nation does not believe, then he can instruct his military might that carpet bomb that area and kill all the animals of that area. And the so-called will do it with surgical precision and kill all the animals of that area. These claims we have seen in our times also, that when people do not adhere, so-called adhere to their civilized world, then carpet bombing of innocent civilians takes place. And Dajjal will pass another group of people who will believe in him. He will command the sky, and it will rain, and command the earth, and it will bring forth vegetation. Now, even more can be done, that commanding the skies, and from the skies, there is also some discussion about weather control, weather manipulation, and this has been under discussion amongst the scientists for a long time. Perhaps Dajjal may have perfected that art when he comes, and he will know how to create this so-called rain. And rain packets and luggages and bundles of food from the sky unto the people who so-called believe in him and his godhood and his prophethood. Hadith also incurs, the streams of the world and its fruits will be made subservient to him. So whoever will follow him, he will give him to eat and make him an unbeliever. And whoever will disobey him, he will deprive him of his provisions and stop his means of livelihood. As explained, that already the so-called ruthless superpowers of the world do this to the improvised, poor, suffering nations of the world, that if they do not conform to their ideologies and do not conform to their imperialistic motives, that they withhold their crops and their provision, their money and their input, financial input. So Dajjal is going to do the same. Because he will have the crops and the vegetation at his disposal, he will use this to threaten people. Those who believe, he will give them fruit and vegetation to eat. Like how we see in this age, that there are countries that toe the lines of the superpowers, they are given food provisions. And the countries that do not, they are left to rot and die and starve. Their innocent children die because they take a stand of not following the dictates of the superpowers. Hadith, there will be some people accompanying Dajjal who will say, we accompany him so that we may eat from his food and feed our cattle from his trees. So, Dajjal will have fruit, he will have feed for cattle, and people in every age are opportunists, and people will follow him and will accompany him so that they might take benefit from the food and the fruit and the fodder that he provides. The hadith, and with him will be mountains of bread, and people will be in difficulty expecting those who follow him, accepting those who follow him. So people in difficulty will be waiting for handouts from the Dajjal and his system, and will be expecting some food and rations and provisions from him. But those who accompany and toe the line and believe in him, who are destined for Jahannam and evil is their end, they will follow him looking for food from him and provisions. Another hadith, and with him will be raised devils in the forms of those who are dead and from amongst the fathers and the brothers of the people. As explained, that Dajjal will have shayateen with him, and he will have the rebellious jinnat with him, and he will invite people towards his divinity by stating that, shall I bring your brother alive? Shall I bring your father alive? When these people say yes, then the shayateen will take the shape of their brothers and their fathers. Because his whole aim will be to steal and ambush the iman of the Muslims. The disbelievers will automatically follow him because of the music, because of the comfort, the ease provided by him, because of the food, the provision, and the so-called water and jannat provided by him, because of the luxury provided. So they will be taken very quickly up by him. That is why the hadith states that quickly he will come into the majority. With him will be devils assuming the appearance of the dead, who will ask the living, do you recognize me? I am your brother, your father, or some relation. In the previous hadith, it only spoke about the father and the brother. And this hadith is speaking about any relative. So the shayateen instructed by Dajjal will lure people and will make people feel that your brother has come back from the dead, your father has come back from the dead, and any relative near to you has come back from the dead. By so doing, a person's iman will be shaken and rattled, and iman will be shaken by the luxury, the comfort, the ease, the music, the womanizing, the wine, the alcohol, the so-called entertainment and luxury. If you look in the entire world, all the centers of sin and all the centers of evil, of immodesty, have been set up. So the floor plan, the master plan for the coming of Dajjal, for the emergence of Dajjal, and for the setup of Dajjal, for the utilization of Dajjal, has been set up. And with him will be raised devils, then shayateen, who will speak to people. Like you have these medium centers, and you have so-called where you go and go into a trance, and then you have these circles where people say that if you enter there and they make you hold hands in the form of a circle, and the person who initiates this and the group leader of that satanic move, then he recites something, chants something, he or she, and then they call unto the spirits, and a person is sent into a trance, believing that his dead father is talking to him, or his dead wife is talking to him, or his dead mother is talking to him. This is commercialized conship and racketeering, and calling of these spirits is totally un-Islamic, and there is no such thing as the spirit of the dead father comes to talk, or the dead father's spirit comes to the home. Unfortunately, in some Muslim homes too, when they have so-called prayer sessions, then they leave a chair vacant and say, no, that my dead father or mother or brother will come here and he will sit here. This is all ludicrous. There is no such thing in Islam. People, Muslims, do not talk to dead ancestors via spirits, etc. This is totally un-Islamic. Even to go to those places is un-Islamic. To go to these astrologers and soothsayers is totally un-Islamic. But Dajjal will be using these systems to mislead man, to create havoc with the iman of man, to create havoc by projecting an easy, comfortable, sinful life. But unfortunately, because of the weakness of iman, today sin is not recognized as sin. Tomorrow we do not know what is going to happen. That perhaps sin is recognized as a virtuous thing, which has already started to gain the limelight. That people commit sin, but they think that they are committing some virtuous action. In devotion also, with devotion which is not prescribed in the Shariat,